Matthew chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, these are God's words. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's word. Here the Lord Jesus continues teaching us the happiness of those who are his yet imperfect, only partially sanctified disciples in this world, and yet how greatly blessed we are to have been given light and life by his Spirit, to turn to him and trust in him. In the first place, he says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And this is similar to what he's going to say in teaching us how to pray in the next chapter, when he teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, in which we say, essentially, have mercy on us, just as we have been merciful with others. And neither here nor there is it saying that we earn his mercy by being merciful. Rather, if we are merciful from the heart, then we have already been shown mercy. We've already been shown the mercy of being joined to Christ by faith and made right with God through him, so that we may know that we are in Christ Jesus and nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. Because the only place where our being genuinely merciful could come from is from that union with Christ. And so we were shown a great initial mercy, and the Lord continues to be merciful to us on an ongoing basis. As poetically described, his mercies being new every morning, Lamentations 3:22 and 23. But notice the blessedness isn't even about the great mercy in the past of being brought to faith in Christ and united to him, or the current mercy of his persisting with us, sanctifying us, conforming us to Christ, making us to be more like him. Oh, that is a great mercy. But the blessedness here is a forward-looking blessedness. The mercy we shall obtain. Here is a mercy, here is a blessedness that is looking forward to our being perfected into the image of Christ at our death or at his return. Here is a forward-looking blessedness that looks forward to the mercy that we shall obtain in the last day, when we are given resurrected bodies like unto his glorious body, when at the final judgment we are vindicated before angels and men, owned by God, and those good works that have been done in Christ Jesus will be rewarded not according to merit, lest the reward be diminished by the sinfulness and weakness that came from us. But we will be rewarded for those good works according to grace, according to Christ, from whom and in whom they were done. And we will enter into the blessedness of God, the blessedness of our Lord, and enjoy him fully in a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwell and in which we ourselves have been perfected in righteousness. So we will obtain mercy. We have been given much already, but how great is the mercy to which we look forward. So blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Indeed, that perfect single-mindedness, cleanness, purity of heart in which we desire God rightly, where he is our delight, and there is nothing that we delight in apart from that delight which is in him. And that is the purity of heart that he describes here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And ever so gently here he teaches us again about the new nature of the Christian, that our remaining sin, it still clings to us, it's still from us, we're still culpable for it. We must put it to death and never excuse it. And yet we say with the apostle in Romans 7, yet not I, but sin that dwells in me. And we say with 1 John 3, that the one who is born of God does not sin and cannot sin, for the seed, the offspring of God, remains in him. So that, yes, there's sin that comes out of us, that is from that which remains of our former nature, and we hate it, and we own it before the Lord. But at the same time, by virtue of union with Christ, we say, not I, but sin that dwells in me. I, in my core self, have been united to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we can come to this verse and read, blessed are the pure in heart, without throwing up our hands and saying, well, I guess that one's not for me. Truly, our new self in Christ, in the Spirit, is pure in heart. And that's why whenever a thought comes to our mind, or an emotion from our heart, or words from our lips, or actions, or words from our lips or actions that are from the flesh, we kill it. That's not suicide. When we do that, we're killing that which remains from a self that is not our identity anymore. It's self-preservation to kill our remaining sin. The one who will be forever, the one that a believer now is pure in heart, cleansed of all other dependence, cleansed of all other delight, cleansed of all other devotion, has all of these things only for the Lord now. And therefore the purity of their heart means their great desire is to see God. And so the blessing of the pure in heart is that they will get the very thing that the Spirit has produced in them the desire for. They will see God. So that which the Lord does in us, as he did in Asaph, cleansing his heart, cleansing his mind, so that he would come at last to say, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none I desire on earth beside you. Not until Asaph died was that finally, fully, his only experience. But in the moment that he died, his heart and mind were finally fully conformed to what the Spirit had carried him to write and pray. See, whom have I in heaven but you? And his experience then was exactly what he had prophesied by the Spirit. Afterward, you will receive me to glory. And in that moment, when his heart was finally perfected and conformed, his heart was cleansed. He was pure in heart. He did, however it is that the soul directly experiences the presence of the Lord, especially before then, at that time, the Son had not been incarnate or resurrected or ascended. And yet, in the way that is described there anthropomorphically, he saw God. And so that awaits every believer. We are looking forward to the finishing of the cleansing of our heart and our experience, when there is nothing that remains from our former nature. And in that moment, when that work has been finished, that which we have desired more than ever will be infinitely abundantly fulfilled to us. And in the last place, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. There is the only begotten Son. There is the beloved Son with whom God is well pleased. And he is a peacemaking Son. This is how God has especially made his Son known, as the one who was reconciling us not only to God, but even to one another. So that as we are all reconciled to God through Christ, Christ breaks down the middle wall of separation. Christ reconciles us to each other. Christ makes peace between us and God. Christ makes peace between us and one another. And the more peacemaking we become then, the more like unto his Son, the more we are conformed to the image of his Son, as his love predestined us to be. Romans 8:29. And so those who are sons of God will be peacemakers. And they will be peacemakers according to God's word. Not those who pretend that differences over truth are small or differences over morality are small. That is not making peace at all. Peacemaking is first peace with God and only secondarily peace with men. But the Father is a peacemaking Father. He demonstrates his love for us in that when we were his enemies, he gave us his Son. The Spirit is peacemaking Spirit. The fruit that he bears in us is love, joy, peace. And so the triune God is a peacemaking God. And when we, by faith in Jesus and union with him, begin to be conformed to his image, then become those who seek first and foremost, peace with God, that even the whole creation would be reconciled to God in Jesus Christ. Then we also seek peace with one another, and we put away all bitterness and grudge holding, become humble and gentle and forgiving, all those wonderful things in the middle of Colossians 3. The end of Ephesians 4 and beginning of Ephesians 5. And so this peacemaking again reminds us that we already are the children of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has shown us, that we should be called sons of God, and that is what we are. We should be called children of God, and that is what we are. We are blessed in that the Spirit has already taught us to call God our Abba. And we know him as the Spirit of the Son, but there shall come a day when this work having been perfected in us, we are revealed as the sons of God at the resurrection, or the redemption of our bodies, to use the language there in the middle of Romans 8, which the creation itself is eagerly awaiting for the revealing of the sons of God. When it will come and enjoy the glorious freedom which belongs to us as God's children and to the entire creation as that which has been set under God's children, which is what we are. And so in the last day, we will obtain that mercy. And in the last day, we will see God. In the last day, we will be publicly owned before new heaven and new earth, angels and glorified men, as the sons of God. And all of that blessing we see already in progress, as those who to some extent are already merciful, those who in our new nature are pure in heart and looking to be cleansed of the remaining presence of what is left of our former nature, and those who have already begun to relish peace with God and peace with one another. And all of this blessedness in process will be completed. Thank God, may he make us glad in the knowledge of the end that belongs to what he has begun for us and in us. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would continue to help us by your Spirit, conforming us to Christ, giving us his own mercifulness, his own delight in you, his own peace-seeking, peace-making priority, pleasure. For we ask it in his name. Amen.